Merry Christmas. If you remember, about a month ago, I wished you all a very happy new year. I'm that troublemaker who, you know, follows and pays attention to so many of the calendars. Remember that the liturgical new year began the first Sunday of Advent. The calendar new year begins today. The fiscal new year for the church, and when we do our business, is July 1st. I don't even know when we have New Year's anymore. There's just so many that I'm hard to keep track of. So, members, you go out, if I don't wish you a happy new year, I mean nothing against it, I'm going to wish you a Merry Christmas, because we're actually still in the octave of Christmas. It's actually still Christmas Day for me. It's the Christmas season starts tomorrow, so we're still part of Christmas Day in the 8 days of the octave of Christmas. So I'm the, you know, one that causes headaches and trouble in all these places. I get that look, you know. People know that you're causing trouble. My mother gives it to me all the time, so I know I'm doing it right. But I often had to ask my mother, you know, how we, her six children, did not put her into an early grave. And she always would look at me and remind me that we are the six survivors so far. Jury is still out on a few of us, so, you know, it could go either way. But, you know, it's one of those fascinating moments that our mothers are so encouraging for. It's a beautiful thing because we're still in Christmas. We're still on Christmas Day. We have the shepherds who make their way in the haste. They go to Bethlehem and they find Mary and they find Joseph and they find the infant lying in the manger. And I want to think, and I want to express to you how much of a miracle I think it is that the shepherds found the infant Jesus at all, because they had absolutely the worst directions of all time. Think about it. The angel said, "You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a feeding trough." Half of that is worthless. Every newborn baby in Bethlehem would have been wrapped in swaddling clothes. None of them are running around naked. So half of the directions are utterly worthless, because all of the infants are wrapped in swaddling clothes. Lying in a feeding trough is only slightly better, because at least then they have a halfway decent expectation of trying to find the child in an unexpected location. But what if I told you that, you know, we're all on a surprise scavenger hunt? You'll find the baby, he'll be tagged with a hospital tag, and you'll find him in a hospital. Good luck. That's every baby that's born in a hospital. That's pretty much all of them. It's kind of one of those moments. But sure enough, through a miraculous event, the shepherds actually find their way to Bethlehem. They find Mary, they find Joseph, and they find the infant in the manger. And they share with Mary and Joseph the message that was proclaimed to them. Now, how crazy is it? Think about this. How crazy is it that a heavenly host appeared in the sky singing glory to God, and Mary and Joseph were so busy with the birth of a child that they missed a heavenly host of angels in the sky singing glory to God? I think it's pretty impressive all by itself. All of these things are truly remarkable. The shepherds are so excited. They worship the child, and then they go out and they tell everyone. They tell everyone this amazing thing that happened to them. This child was born. Angels sang of his presence. And this truly remarkable event has occurred within their lifetime. It is this truly incredible moment. And what do we have? We have Mary, who keeps all these things in her heart and reflects on them and turns them over, because she has to weigh carefully, what does all of this mean? Consider that today we celebrate the solemnity of the Mother of God, because if we're going to have a child, we have to have a mother. Babies don't fall out of the sky. They don't rain down from heaven. I mean, that'd be a terrifying catch to try and make, but they come from mothers. Unless you're telling me that you actually came here from a meteor, in which case I need to hear your whole life story because I'm fascinated. But aside from that one exception, we come from our mothers. We need our mothers. And the child who is God is no exception. This child who is great, who is called Jesus, which means God saves, who is called Son of the Most High, who is called Prince of Peace, who is called so many things, but is Emmanuel, God with us, had a mother. Now, I can tell you about the philosophical debate and all of the councils that went involved in bestowing the title of Theotokos, and the fight in Ephesus, and the war in Constantinople, and the final ratification in Chalcedon, but what we really want to focus on is to witness what it is that we were so very special to receive a Mother of God. She herself not actually God, but actually to be able to be the Mother of God. And the many trials that go along with that. Consider for a moment that our mothers are reminders to us of who God is, because the mothers, just like God, love us before there's anything lovable about us. Think about this. Mothers get to know their child for 9 months before they ever get to see them. These children who grow inside, these children who gestate and begin to take shape and form within our own mothers, these very children who cause so many distressing moments for our mothers. You know, there are many visits to the bathroom for so many exciting reasons, the unusual sensations that I can't even begin to imagine because I have no idea what it's like to have something grow inside of me. I mean, I'm sure there's something growing inside of me. The doctor tells me I have all kinds of bacteria, but you know, I'm sure that doesn't equate in any way, shape, or form. But they love us. They love us before there's anything lovable about us. And then we come into this world and we come in with messiness and crying and screaming, and you know, there's a baby involved too, but you know, there's all these moments of sheer terror. We get this sort of smushed, purpley, misshapen thing that wants everything and has absolutely no patience for you, who makes messes and screams and cries and needs food and needs to be taken care of and needs to be cleaned and looked after. And don't get me wrong, they're really cute while they're asleep, but you know, the rest of the time it's a little terrifying just to try and make sure that all of these things are cared for. And only then do we actually have something that actually is something we can wrap our arms around and show our love for in that way. Leading up to that moment, our mothers love us despite the fact that they had nothing to wrap their arms around. Consider our own Blessed Mother's trial. She was found pregnant while betrothed before she knew her husband. She could have been stoned right then and there. She was absolutely the Mother of God, and she knew full well that showing her pregnant in that moment could cost her life, and yet she didn't. She went into a relationship and entered into a relationship with a man who she fully knew was not the father, and he still took her in. They ventured during pregnancy to the town of Bethlehem just so that they could get turned down from every place to stay because it was overbooked everywhere. So they had to stay in a stable, possibly in a cave, in the most miserable of conditions, and it's there that the baby decides it's time to show up, which of course is so exciting as well. She has to flee to Egypt with an infant just to survive, just to ensure that this child would survive. She has to return to this land, this promised land of hers, but to a place she doesn't know. She has to return to Nazareth, to a place she doesn't know. She has to grow up watching her child grow. She loses her husband. She watches this son of hers become an example to a community who witnesses love, who expresses the teachings of God, who performs miracles, only to watch him executed. She has to take him down. She has to bury her own son. And all of these things are forewarned to her. Gabriel gives her a hint, Simeon another. These little hints, these little indications of all the things that a mother will encounter, of all the hardships that a mother will endure. Consider for a moment your own mother, whether you have a great relationship, a good relationship, or something less than pleasing. Consider for a moment that your mother loved you enough to make sure that you made it. The very fact that you're here means that you have a mother who loved you. You may not think so. Maybe your relationship with your mother is in a mess. But your mother loved you enough to make sure that you got here. And that alone is a witness of God's love and mother's love. Our mothers are reminders to us of the incredible love that can be offered long before we have very lovable things about us. And our mothers know us. They know us in curious ways. If you ask your mother, especially Always wait for a great moment to ask your mother why she loves you, like just after you broke something. That's my favorite moment to ask my mother. She might be mad enough that she can't come up with your name and has to run through every other name in the house, which, remember, I have five brothers and sisters. It takes a little longer sometimes than others. She still knows why she knows you. She still knows why you're particular, and that you have a very special place in her heart, different from everybody else. Because the love that her mother has for her children, it's different than the love she has for her spouse. It's different than the love she has for her mother. It's different from the love she has for anything else in the world. And that particular love is something we get to enjoy. It's something that we receive without deserving. And today we celebrate our Blessed Mother, our spiritual mother, our second mother, who also loves us particularly, who also has a special place in her heart for each and every one of us, who also cares for us very deeply, profoundly, and in a very special way. And today we get to celebrate that. Today I have two challenges for you. First of which is to thank your mother. I don't care what you thank her for, but be sure to thank your mother. Leave it open-ended. And always smile really big when you do it. Then she'll be panicked and worried if you broke something else somewhere else in the house. That's how I always do it. I get up right behind my mother and I say thank you really softly, and then I back away slowly with a big smile on my face. And then when I'm out of arm's reach, I run. I still do it. I'm 32 years old. This is still how I tell my mother I love her. It's the best way to do it, let me tell you. Because now they're panicked because they have no idea what you just did. Because they're sure you did something. They'll just find out later. But tell your mother you love her. The other thing I challenge you to do is to thank your spiritual mother, who also loves you, who you may not be able to wrap your arms around, but do not underestimate, still has a very particular, wonderful, and great love